We're starting at the top of Chaf Chedem and Aleph, where the Gemara begins discussing the fact that relatives cannot testify one for the other. The Gemara says, where do we learn it from? The Gemara says, we learn it from them. Lo yimtu avot, bavon banim, o banim, bavon avot. Right? Ish bechato yumatu. So we said, by chataim, each person is responsible for themselves unless they follow in the ways of their fathers. On the other hand, when it comes to testimony, an Av may not testify for a Ben may not testify for an Av. Over here, now the Gemara begins, Ashkechot Avot Devanim, Uvanim Le'Avot. We found what would be, the simple way to read this would be, we found fathers for his children and children for fathers. Right? But that's, the Rashi says that's not the right interpretation here. The word Avot over here is in plural. So Avot means fathers, and Banim means sons. So if I took fathers and sons, that'd be the equivalent of, say, for instance, we had Reuven and Shimon, who are brothers. They're the Avot. And Banim are the sons, each of their sons. So the Banim are first cousins to each other, right? The uncles, meaning that Shimon is Reuven's son's uncle, Reuven is Shimon's uncle. So the Rashi over here says, what does it mean? Ashkechan Avot Levanim. We find that uncles may not testify for nephews. That's what it means. And uvanim levot. We find that nephews may not testify for their uncles. V'chov shekein avot lahadadi. And certainly the uncles, the two brothers, can't testify for each other. So actually that comes all out of the word, because it's in plural, avot in the pasuk. So now, banim the banim minolan. How do we know that the first cousins may not testify for each other? It says, imkein lichtav kra lo yimtu avot al ben. Right, they avot should not testify on the ben. Now ben, avot is in plural then, and the ben in the singular. But the ben in singular there will refer to both avot. Each av will have the ben that is associated with him. So my banim, so what's the plurality of banim teach you? Da'afilu banim la'ade ahadadi. Even first cousins, one to the other, may not testify. So now the Gemara says, okay, ashkechon banim la'adadi, banim le'alma minolan. So now I know that first cousins may not testify for each other. How do I know that first cousins can't come together and testify for someone else? How do I know that first cousins can't be a kat edim together and testify about another case? So Amar Rami Bar Chama Svaru. That's a logical argument. Kedetanya, we have a bright, Ein ha'edim nasim zomamid, ad shizumu shneem. The edim zomamim are not edim zomamim until the kat, the entire group of edim, have been brought to, or been indicted as being edim zomemim. Banim la'alma k'shirim. If you want to suggest that first cousins could be, come together as a kat edim and testify against a third party, nimtza ed zonem neherag beedut achiv. Right, so that works out that you have an ed zomem who's been killed because of his brother's testimony. So how does that work? What's the logic here of Rami Bar Chama? I have two cousins who come to testify. Now, if another kerav edim comes and says imanu ayitem on these two edim, then they become edim zomimim. But if they come and say imanu ayitim about one of the edim, then only that, as we said yesterday, is that that aid might be known as an aid zomim, but he still doesn't, there's no punishment of kasher zamam l'asot until both of them are indicted or incriminated as edim zomimim. So what do you see from here? Rav is not going to like the logic. In a second, I'm going to say that the logic's hard. Rav is going to reject this logic, but his logic is right, because his cousin's testimony, and his testimony has to be found to be problematic in the fact that he is an Eid Zomim. So when his cousin's found to be an Eid Zomim, that's what causes him to be punished, because you need both of them to be incriminated. So if you're only incriminated, you wouldn't get punished. So when your cousin gets incriminated, it's his testimony that's causing you to be incriminated. What's obvious, and what Rava's question is going to be, it's not his testimony that's causing him to be incriminated. It's the testimony of the new Edim that say, Imanu Ayitem. His testimony is just what? Right? It gives us the opportunity to incriminate him. But that's the logic of Rami Bar Chama. So Rava comes and says, Amalei Rava, Ulatamech. If you want to extend this logic, Haditznan, that we have a Mishnah, right, that we saw in Baba Batra, Shlosha Achin Ve'echad Mitztarefim Mehem, Hari Elu Gimel Ediyot. So you have, this is for a Shnei Chazaka. You have Edim come to testify the Gabe Shnei Chazaka. Each year has one brother and a third party. Right, so there's, and then the next year is a second brother and that same third party. Third year is the third brother in that same third party. So Gemara says those they are gimel idiot. They're gimel idiot in the sense that they are separate idiot, and it's not classified as being all one edut. Because if it was classified as all one edut, then you'd have a problem, because then you have krovim testifying, right, to the same, in the same testimony. So you have to say that each one of them is a separate idiot. There's a huge chiddush in the, if you remember in the Rashba, Rashbam has a huge chiddush in that, sugi over there. He says, why is it that, what's the story with krovim? Why are krovim psulim? So the Rashbam says there, kol krovim kechad nechshav. All krovim are considered like one. So when you're a karov and you come and testify, it's as if you're one person. It's not like you're two people. You're not a separate edut, you're not a separate kat edin. So that's why you need this additional individual here to come and testify, because this individual is what makes it that there's actually two edin. Because now you have three brothers, that's one ed, and then you have this other individual, so that makes two edin. That's where the Rashbam learns. There's a huge chiddush in the Rashbam, the problem of krovim. And the problem of krovim could be, one problem could be the possibility is that they're krovim, that they are relatives. And that because they're relatives, that's what makes the problem here. We're worried about bias. We're worried about, right, whether it's the schut, whether it's the chovah. We're worried about the relationship impacting on the case. Here the Rashbam says that we look, take it so far as to say that they're one person. They're not even classified as two individuals. And that's why Kovim can't testify. The other possibility is that it's a gzirat ha-katuf. In the Gemara today, we're going to see both possibilities. The Gemara in one case, up here, we'll see in a minute, it's going to lean towards the side that says a gzirat ha-katuf. Later on, the Gemara is going to sound more like it's a krovim is a problem of their kurva, that they're actually relatives. Right, so that's, the Gemara says, v'hein edut achat lazama. But when it comes to hazama, you have to be mezim, all of them, in order to be punished. Why is that? Because it requires, in order for this person to take the property, he requires all three of their testimonies in order to take the property. If any one of those testimonies fails, he doesn't have shlosh, he doesn't have shalosh, right, shnei hazaka. But that shlosh shnei hazaka, there's nothing there. So every testimony by itself could do nothing. It's only together, all their testimonies cause the property to move. Therefore, by the hazama, the only way you're going to be punished is if they're all found to be edim zomimim. Because if one set is found to be edim zomimim, then nobody else did anything. Because once one's out, the other two have no power or no tokif in the case. So now, nimsa, according to you, ed zomim mishalem mamon beduta achiv. Right, again here, based on your logic here, this won't work, because then when they're made zomimim, again, it's a brother and a brother that are made into zomimim. What are you going to say over there? That they can't be made into zomimim? We have a Mishnah that says they can be made into zomimim. It works. Ella hazama me'al makati. This is what you would have said anyway, right? This is the logic. Is that hazama comes from external. It's an external factor. It's other edim coming and being made zomimim. Your testimony is what allows us to incriminate you. But that's not what is the edut here. That's not what's making the other person chayav. You're chayav because you said something false, that you did something wrong. So now, Ella Imkain. So now what's the source again that first cousins may not testify for third parties? When it says, Ella Imkain Likhtov Kra Uben Alavot Inami Haim Alavot. Right, why is it the second half of the pasuk, right? First of all, we could say, right, we said before that it was avot al banim. We already learned from banim that they can't testify from each other. But then the pasuk reverses and it says avim uvanim al avotam. So over there, why do you have to do that? You could either have said uven al avot, you don't have to write it, or you could have said haim al avot, because you could use the pronoun, you don't need the actual banim. So my uvanim, but either the plural use of banim, or the use of banim instead of a pronoun, afilu banim li'alma. That comes to teach you that even banim, even first cousins, can't testify together against the third party. So Agamar says, ashkechan koveav. Now we have relatives through the father, right? Avot ubanim. Right? Koveaim minoan. How do we know that relatives through the mother's side are also classified as relatives? Regards to being kurva, being relatives for testament. Obviously not, we don't, by Yerusha, it doesn't work that way. And that's the day of Rabbi Yossi, right, in the Mishnah. That it only goes after the kurva with Yerusha. If you're not Yerusha's individual, if you can't be Yerushim, then you can't testify. But that would only be kurvata av. But the Tanakhama believes that there's also a kurvata aim. That also applies. So where do we know that from? Samakra, avot, avot, trezimne. says avot twice in plural. We used already the first avot for the krovei av. The second avot, what are we going to use that for? We say, well, if you don't need it for krovei av, we're going to use it for krovei ha'im. Now, this is the interesting line in the Gemara. Ashkechan lechova. We find, right, that they can't do this for the negative. They can't testify in the negative, which is lo yumtu, right, avot al banim. So there, yumtu means they're going to put him dead. That's a negative statement. They can't do something that is detrimental to the other individual. They can't testify in such a case. But l'zchut minalan. How do we know that they can't testify in a positive manner? So amakra yumtu trei zimne. It says, right, they should, they will die twice. Im einu l'inyan chova, t'nei l'inyan zchut. If it's not for something negative, then let's put it for something positive. Why? Because again, yumtu already the first time taught us that you can't testify in a negative situation. So why yumtu again? Yumtu again, we don't need it for negative, we're going to use it for the positive. Over here, what do you see from this little line in the Gemara? That what's the problem of kurva? The problem of kurva, if I would have said the problem in kurva over here is that we're relatives and that we have bias because we like each other, we know each other, then the Gemara wouldn't have asked to ask, where do we know schut from? Meaning that if the Torah comes and says in a negative case you can't testify when you're a relative and you would have bias, then certainly in a case where it's the schut, you shouldn't be able to testify. The fact that the Gemara doesn't use that logic and says, I need a pasuk to teach me that, seems to indicate it's a gzerata katuv. Alright, I'm saying that's the one we'll see again later in the Gemara that it leans the other way. There are two, the Achronim argue about what the problem of kurva is, and this Gemara right here, it sounds like it's a gzerata katuv. Right, that's one of the examples, obviously, because Moshe and Aaron are psulim to be edim, even though nobody would suspect them of being a problem as kovim. So you could argue that's just lo-plot. But it sounds like from that it's gezerot ha-katuv, and that's what it sounds like over here as well. So now, the Gemara says, Ashachan b'dinei nefashot. Talk about capital cases over here, so it's lo yumtu. B'dinei memononot minolot. How do we know that by civil or monetary cases it also applies? Amakra, mishpat echad yelechem. And there's only one type of adjudication. Mishpat ashaveh lachem. Each one is equal. I mean, anything that the rules or the laws are going to be the same between dinei mamonot and dinei nefashot. And if it doesn't work by dinei nefashot, it's also not going to work by dinei mamonot.
So now, with this answer, you could also say, this is also mentioned before. We said, mimeno enyan lachovah,
tneo enyan. I hear what you're saying, that you think you could use it also for that. It's possible. You might didn't use it, but you're right. Maybe you could use it in the end for that. Right now, the Gemara comes back to the Apsule Krova that we were discussing in our Mishnah and the relatives. Here you have the, give you over here, you need the, maybe might need the charts over here again to see it. So Rav makes a statement over here, and then we're going to dissect Rav's statement to understand what he means. So Amar Rav. Rav says, Achei Abba, or it's Achei Abba, my uncle, Lo Ya'idli. My uncle cannot testify for me. Who? He, my uncle, cannot testify. Uvno, his son, meaning my first cousin, may not testify me. Vichodno, and the chatan, the son-in-law of my uncle, which means my first cousin through marriage. Right, chatano, right, thank you. Chatano, his son-in-law, which is his first cousin through marriage. So those people can't testify for me. Afani, also I, lo aidlo, I cannot testify for my uncle. Ani, me, myself. Uvni, right, and my son, meaning that my son cannot testify for his great uncle, right? Zevichodni is my son-in-law. My son-in-law cannot testify for his great uncle through marriage. So that would be the setup. That's what Rav sets up, the distance of relatives that are not allowed to testify for each other. So if you look here on the chart, we can see over here we're talking about Rav. So Rav, the relationship to Achi Abba, to my uncle, right, is Rav is uncle, can't testify. His first cousin can't testify. His son-in-law cannot testify on that side of the family. And on Rav's side of the family, Rav's son and son-in-law cannot testify. Now this is going to become important when you look at it from here. You'll see why in a minute. The Gemara is going to lay out how many generations apart, or what's the distance of relationship here that Rav is indicating. So the Gemara says over here, Vamai, why does Rav say this? Havale shlishi birishon. That is a shlishi birishon. So the way the Gemara counts relationships is the yichud, or the beginning, the zero, the epist, is the individual who creates the kurva. So over here it would be Acha de father. The father of Rav's father, Rav's grandfather basically, but the father of his, of Rav's father Abba, and his Achi Abba, his uncle. That father is zero. The first generation of kurva is Rav's father and his uncle. When you take one step down to Rav's generation, that's already a sheni. And when you look at Rav's children, either his son or his son-in-law, that's a shlishi. That's a third generation. Now, Rav just said that his own son may not testify for Rav's uncle, or basically his son can't testify for his great-uncle. His great-uncle is classified as a rishon, a first generation, and his Rav's son is classified as a shlishi. So Rav is saying that you can't have a shlishi testify for a rishon. The Gemara says, I don't know, that's too far apart. That type of relationship is so far apart that we don't think there's a psul here. Why? Vanan, we learned, sheni b'sheni tnan. Our Mishnah does not allow, for instance, first cousins to testify for each other. Over here it would be Rav could not testify for his uncle's son, which would be a sheni b'sheni. And sheni b'rishon, or Rav could not testify for his uncle. But shlishi b'rishon lotnan. We have a b'sura that in our Mishnah, third generation for first generation relationships, there is no problem with that, and our Mishnah doesn't mention it. So the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Where did Rav get this, that your shlishi v'rishon is problematic? So Gemara first tries to now change the Mishnah. Change the Mishnah and says, in the Mishnah it says, all these individuals who cannot testify, Nehem and Chatanehem are sons and son-in-laws. In our case over here, what would be the son and the son-in-law? That would be Rav's uncle, and then his children would be the, right, the son and the son-in-law. In our Mishnah, what our Mishnah says, and you have that from yesterday, we saw that it means the individual, plus their son and their son-in-law. That would only get you down to a second generation in our Mishnah. In any case, in our Mishnah, you never get to a third generation. But now the Gemara says, no. My chatano. What does it mean when it says son-in-law? Diktani b'matniten. Chatan bino. It's not his son-in-law, but it's rather its son's son-in-law. It's his son's son-in-law. So Gemara says, wait a minute, why would you do something silly like that and say son's son-in-law? Litne ben beno. How about your grandson? That'd be a simpler thing to say. It's your grandson rather than your son's son-in-law. Right? I mean, your grandson-in-law. Why would you just use your grandson? So Gemara says, milta gavorche kamashman. The Gemara says that. The bishop is going to teach us the bao ki ishto. That a bao has the same status as an isha, and therefore a son-in-law is not an extra generation, it's not an extra separation, degree of separation. It's on the same level as the woman that he married. So if you look here again on the chart, I have here an example of it here. If you have with Amram, when you take Amram, you have Moshe and Aaron, who are his children. Moshe and Aaron are Rishonim. Then you have Aaron's son Elazar, and Aaron's grandson Pinchas. So we said, according to Rav, Pinchas may not testify for Moshe. That means a shlishi for a rishon. Now what our Mishnah is doing over here is saying that, oh, on Moshe's side, let's think about this, on Moshe's side you have Gershom and his son-in-law Eliezer. Call him Gershom and Eliezer, his son and son-in-law. That would be the end. In our Mishnah, you wouldn't have gone further than that, so you'd only get to a sheni. Now the Gemara is coming and saying, no, you know what? You know what chatano means? Chatano means the chatan of his ben. It means that the chatan of Gershom, Gershom's son-in-law. So who is Gershom's son-in-law? So Gershom also have a son, Micha. He has a daughter named Leah. And then the Leah was married to Menashe. So this Menashe now becomes the Chatan Bino, the son-in-law of his son. And that would then give us a third generation in our Mishnah. And then our Mishnah would be indicating that a Shlishi may not testify for a Rishon. Because that says in our Mishnah, any individuals mentioned in our Mishnah may not testify for that individual, for that individual's son, and that individual's son's son-in-law, right? The son-in-law of that son. So that would be a shlishi b'rishon. So that would get a shlishi b'rishon in our Mishnah. So that's the Gemara's. And the Gemara says, why don't you just say grandson? We could have just used Micha over here. That would have been fine. Why are you using Menashe as it? To teach you Baal Ki Ishto. Baal Ki Ishto makes it as if that's the same level to teach us that it's not a revi, but rather just a shlishi when you reach that point. So the Gemara says, all right. But then you run into another problem, which is Ve'alaha Detani Rabbi Chiya. We have a brisa from Rabbi Chiya that says, and the brisa of Rabbi Chiya is basically addressing our Mishnah, Shmoneh Avot Shehem Esrin Ve'arba. There are 8 avot that are mentioned in our Mishnah that really become 24. So why does it become 24? So it's just, over here, our Mishnah actually enumerates 10 individuals. Yesterday, if you have the sheet from yesterday here, you can look at the sheet from yesterday has the, over here, there was Aleph through Yud. There were 10 individuals that were mentioned in our Mishnah. Now, one of them is not a problem, which is Chorgo. By Chorgo, we said he doesn't have any derivatives. Chorgo, his stepson doesn't, we don't worry about his son and son-in-law when it comes to his Chorgo. Out of those, the 9 remaining have actually 3 permutations, which is themselves, Benam, their sons, and Chata Nehem, right, their son-in-laws. So that would be, if I took those 9, and I said, oh, there are 3 manifestations in each one, that would actually get you to 27. Over here, Rabbi Chiya says there are only 8. Why? The Gemara will have to deal with that. We're going to deal with that in the second half of the Amud. Why Rabbi Chiya says there's only 8 out of the 10? Now, we have 9 based on our Mishnah. He's going to get to 8. When you have 8, and then you take 3 manifestations, you end up with 24. But you can only have 3 manifestations if you say it's them, Bnehem, and Chatanehem. If you explain the Mishnah like Rav just did, or not like we were trying to help Rav with, you would say that it means Chatan Beno. Chatan Beno actually adds another 2 manifestations, right, of the individual. His son-in-law, plus his grandson-in-law, and his grandson, right. So that you actually have 5 manifestations in each one. The Gemara here only says that there are 4, because either, Rashi says, either you have to say, Bnei Banim, Harien Ki Banaim, or Shem Chatan Echad. And that all son-in-laws and grandson-in-laws are all one Shem Echad. But nevertheless, the Gemara says that you would have at least 4 manifestations in the Mishnah, that means you get to 32. So why does Rabbi Chiya only say there are 24 permutations and not 32 permutations in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says you can't explain it that way because that says Ratani Rabbi Chiya Shmona Avot Chayin Asim Barba Hani Tlatin Betaritin. That's really 32. Avi Elul Olam Chatano Mamash. Son-in-law really means son-in-law. Vamai Karilei Chatan Bino. So then, right. So he says, okay, why do you call him over here? How do you get it to be a shlishi over here that it's Chatan Bino? So because Kevan Dema'alma Kaati. Since he comes from an outsider, Kedora Cherdami. He's as if he's a new generation. So if you go back to the picture by Rav, but look at the picture by Rav over here, his uncle has a son, right? His son is a Sheni. But Rav's uncle's son-in-law is really a Shlishi. Why is he a Shlishi? Because his uncle's daughter is a Sheni. The son-in-law who marries the daughter, that's another degree of separation. That makes him into a shlishi. Instead of saying bal kishto, we're saying no, kedor acher dami. That marriage is the same degree of separation as a father to a child. So if you do that in our Mishnah, then you also have a shlishi berishon in our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says those individuals cannot testify for, you know, another individual. Their sons cannot testify, and their son-in-laws cannot testify. Now, when their sons can't testify, that's a sheni berishon. When their son-in-laws can't testify, that's actually a shlishi berishon. Why shlishi berishon? Because the marriage makes it another degree of separation, makes it into a shlishi berishon, and that'll be the proof, or that'll be the support for Rav in our Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, Yochi havalei shlishi b'sheni. Wait a minute, whoa. Now you're going to run into a problem in our Mishnah, which is that you'll actually have a Shlishi testifying about a Sheni. Because you could actually have in our Mishnah where a Ben, and not even that, you could actually have a Shlishi testify for a Shlishi. But over here, you'll say, I can't testify for this individual, plus I can't testify for his son, and I can't testify for his son-in-law. And his son-in-law cannot testify for me and my son. Wait, his son-in-law is a third level. My son is a second level. That means that a third level generation and a second level generation can't testify for each other. Rav, Akshar, Shlishi, B'Sheni. And we know Rav says that when it's three and against two, when it's a third generation against, testifying for a second generation, that's not a problem. That's too many degrees of separation. You know, 5 degrees of separation already, that's too much. And you're not considered a relative in that case. So you can't use that as the explanation for our Mishnah. You can't explain our Mishnah as being a son-in-law is another degree of separation as a Shlishi. You have to explain our Mishnah as being a son-in-law as only being a second generation. Because if you do explain it as being a third generation, you now have the cases in our Mishnah where a third generation will not be allowed to testify for a second generation. And we know Rav says that is permissible. So that can't be the way to explain the Mishnah. Ela Rav cannot, basically Rav can't fit in our Mishnah. Ela Rav, to Omar, ki Rabbi Elazar. Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar, which is on the second page over here. Rabbi Elazar explains his position here in this brisa. Because Rabbi Elazar says, the Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kishem she'achi abba lo ya'idli, just like my uncle, right? Rabbi Elazar is over here, and you see him on the left side. My uncle, Achi Abba, cannot testify for me. Who? He can't testify for my Uvno, and his son, Vechatano, and his son-in-law, cannot testify for me. Kach, so too, Ben Achi, right? Ben Achi Abba, the son of my father's, the son of my uncle, my first cousin, Lo Yehili, can't testify for me. My first cousin can't testify for me. Not him. Who? Uveno. Right. His. Right. My grand's right. Would be my. It's actually my, would be my first cousin once removed. Right. Vechatano and his son-in-law, which would be right my first cousin once removed through marriage. So basically, if you look over here, my uncle's grandson and grandson-in-law cannot testify for me. So that's exactly what Rav's looking for. Over here now we have a shlishi that is testifying be rishon. We have a shlishi testifying be rishon. He says it's problematic because he says, now the Gemara says, wait a minute, that's not so.
Where's the shlishi b'sheni over here?
What?
Where's the shlishi b'sheni over here?
There's a shlishi berishon. We have a shlishi berishon that can't testify. The Gemara's going to ask your question in a second. It's actually really a shlishi b'sheni. Because over here we're saying that the grandson of my uncle's grandson can't testify for me. My uncle's grandson is a shlishi, and I am a, Rabbi Lezer is a sheni. So that'd be a shlishi b'sheni. So what do you mean that you can learn from it? How could Rabbi be holding like, right, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says a shlishi b'sheni. We know Rav Achshar b'shlishi b'sheni. So when he says Rav Sarlei Kavatei Bechada or Poligalei Bechada, he agrees with his principle or his position that a shlishi cannot testify by a rishon, but he does not agree with his position that a shlishi may not testify with a sheni. So that's how Rav's, that's where problems are. Now Gemara says, okay, that's very nice that Rav only holds a part of Rabbi Elazar, but what type of logic is this? I mean, where's the logic? So my time up to Rav. So what's the reasoning behind Rav? Damar kra, lo yum tu avot abanim uvanim. He reads the, he parses the pasuk instead of reading lo yum tu avot abanim and then comma, uvanim al right, lo yum tu avotam. He reads it like this, lo yum tu avot abanim uvanim, because of the vav ha chibur, so he reads it uvanim. The rabot or acher, to add another generation. Because Loyim Tu Avot Abanim is, we said before, includes first cousins over here, which would be a Sheni B'Sheni. It would be, it includes the fathers to the nephews to the uncles, which is Sheni B'Rishon. If I add an additional generation, Uvanim, right, Uvanim would add an additional generation, make the Shlishi B'Rishon. Because before we learned, if you remember at the beginning of today's Amud, we said that Uyashkan Avot Abanim, Uvanim Avot, was uncles to nephews, nephews to uncles, may testify. That's a Sheni B'Rishon, or Rishon B'Sheni. If I add an additional Uvanim, an additional generation, I get Shlishi B'Rishon. Rabot Rachel, Rabbi Elazar, Albanim. It says over here, it says, Loim Tu Avot Albanim, right? So Uvanim. Not only can the Uvanim, that new Dor Acher, cannot testify on the Avot, they also cannot testify al Abanim, on the, right, nephews. Not only can they not testify to the uncles, they also cannot testify to the nephews. So based on that, if you look in our, or back to our picture over here, what Rabbi Elazar is saying is that the Pasuk teaches me that Abba and Achi Abba and Rabbi Elazar and Beno cannot testify for each other. Those are the uncles and nephews can't testify for each other. That's Sheni B'Rishon, Rishon B'Sheni, Sheni B'Sheni, Rishon B'Rishon, they can't testify for each other. Now, the Uvanim comes to teach me an additional generation, which Rav says, which is that Rabbi Elazar's child or Rabbi Elazar's son-in-law may not testify for his uncle. So that would be Shlishi B'Rishon, that's Uvanim. Along comes Rabbi Elazar says, well, Uvanim teaches you can't testify on the Avot is his uncle. But it also tests that Uvanim can't testify ala banim. Who are the ala banim? Who are those banim of the uncle? That's my first cousin. So my children can't testify for my first cousin. My children who are shlishi can't testify for my first cousin who is a sheni. And that's how Rabbi Elazar learns it out from the pasuk that sheni may not testify for a shlishi.
Well, then, if the Gemara really asked before about you have a relationship with sheni, Rav Achshar shlishi.
That's Rav. Rav doesn't go that far. Rabbi Elazar does Achshar. It does not is posel sheni b'shlishi, and therefore now we're explaining what's the source for Rabbi Elazar. We explain the source for Rav, and then we explain the source for Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Rav, who believes that the furthest distance is four, is a derivative, four gap derivative. It's only 3 to 1 that can testify, can't testify, but 3 to 2 can testify. So we explain that puzzle. Then we explain according to Rabbi Elazar, who says even third generation to a second generation derivative cannot testify for each other. That's where do we learn that from the puzzle? So the Gemara learned from each of them what their limud is. All right. And now, next complication here is on the third page, which is we have two statements here in the Gemara. One statement by Rav Nachman and one statement by Rav Ashi. So here it says, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, listen, Achi Chamuti, my mother-in-law's brother, Lo Ya'idli, cannot testify for me. Ben Achi Chamuti, the son of my mother-in-law's brother, Lo Ya'idli, cannot testify for me. And Ben Achot Chamuti, the son of my mother-in-law's sister, Lo Ya'idli, cannot testify for me. So look here, if you look on the chart here, we're dealing with Yehuda. Yehuda married Bat Shua. Now, Bat Shua's father is Shua, and her mother is Ado. Ado is Yehuda's mother-in-law, Chamuto. Lotan, right, is Ado's brother, and Timnah is Ado's sister. Brother and sister. So if I'm talking about my brother, the people who cannot testify for me, I just said over here, what Rav Nachman suggested over here is that my mother-in-law's brother, meaning Lotan, cannot testify for me, Yehuda. Ben, right, Achi Chamuti, that means the son of Lotan cannot testify for me, Yehuda, which would be, basically, that is, but Shua's first cousin cannot testify for me. And then, what he also said was that Ben Achot Chamuti, the Timna's son, cannot testify for me, Yehuda, which is the son of my mother-in-law's sister. So that's what Rav Nachman says. The Gemara says,
same thing, just brother and sister.
I'm
sorry? That's the same thing, just brother and sister.
Right, who's brother? Oh, meaning that the last two cases. Yes, yes. It's just that the mother-in-law's brother and the mother-in-law's sister, correct. So now the Gemara says, okay, but Tani Tuna, he says, our Tana already spoke about that. Our Tana gave us that case, right? Well, how does we know? How does our Tana give us that case? Because it says, Balachoto, right? The husband of his sister, Ubalachotavi, aunt's husband, right? His father's sister's husband, Ubalachotimo, right? And then again, the husband of his mother's sister, which is his aunt through his mother, you know, his aunt through his, these are his aunts through marriage. Uncles through marriage. And each case, it's his aunt, either because of his mother or for his father. Hain, uvnehem, bechotnehem. They, their children, and chotnehem, and their son-in-laws. Right, so if you look here at this chart, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that if I look at, called it Ben Shlishi over here. If I look at Ben Shlishi, who is his, what the Gemara just laid out here, who is, well, let's start with Lotan. We'll start with Lotan. Lotan.
Cousins and cousins.
Right. Who? Lotan, who is Baal Achoto? Who is Baal Achoto? Baal Achoto is Shua. Right? His sister is Ada. Baal Achoto. Achoto is Ada. Baal, her husband, is Shua. So Baal Achoto is Pasul. But you know who else is Pasul? Bnehem Bechotanehem. Right? His son and his son-in-law is also Pasul. Who is Shua's son-in-law? Yehuda. So that means if I'm Lotan, then our Mishnah tells us that Lotan can't testify for Yehuda because he is my sister's husband's son-in-law. My sister's husband's son-in-law. That's what we just said. Chatan Baal Achoto. So what Rav Nachman called a problem because of Achi Chamuti is a problem in our Mishnah because of a Chatan Baal Achoto. Okay, next case, took Ben Shlishi. Ben Shlishi, right, he said, what do we say Ben Shlishi is? He can't be Baal Achot Aviv. Who is Baal Achot Aviv? His father is Lotan. Achot Aviv is Ada. Baal Achot Aviv is Shua, his uncle. Uncle Shua, he can't testify for. Not only can he not testify for Uncle Shua, he also cannot testify for Uncle Shua's son-in-law. Who's Uncle Shua's son-in-law? That is Yehuda. So you see from this, Ben Shlishi. So that's what we call Chatan Baal Achot Aviv. The next thing in our Mishnah is that Ben Revi'i over here cannot testify for Baal Achot Imo, for his mother's sister, Timna's sister's Ada, her husband is Shua. So he can't testify for Uncle Shua. But if you can't testify for Uncle Shua's Chatan, son-in-law. Who's Uncle Shua's son-in-law? That's Yehuda. So that means that Chatan Baal Achot Imo. So basically what the Gemara is showing is that our Mishnah also addresses the cases that Rav Nachman had laid out, but just from the other perspective. I mean that Rav Nachman's perspective is from Yehuda's perspective. From Yehuda's perspective, he can't testify for Lotan, he can't testify for Ben Shlishi, and he can't testify for Ben Revi'i. Our Mishnah addresses it from the other side and says that Lotan can't testify for Yehuda, Ben Shlishi can't testify for Yehuda, and Ben Revi'i can't testify for Yehuda. And that comes from that the individuals that are mentioned are not only they are Asur, but also their son-in-laws. So there I showed you, the arrows show you the equivalence between the statement of Rav Nachman and the statement in our Mishnah that would draw the equivalence. Now, Rav Ashi is about to do the same thing. I'm Rav Ashi. Kavina be ula ibayalon. We had a question. Instead of making a statement here, Rav Ashi has a question. Achi chamiv. My father-in-law's brother, mahu. What's the din? So now our picture over here. Yehuda's father-in-law is Shua. His brother is Eitzer. Now, Ben Achi Chamiv, the son of my father-in-law's brother, which would be Ben Sheni in our case, of your Eitzer's son, Mahu, can he testify for me, Yehuda? Ben Achot Chamiv, the son of my father-in-law's sister, that's Pua's son over here, can he testify for me, Yehuda? And the Gemara, what's the din here? So Amilan, Tznitua, then it's back. That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah already addresses these cases. How does our Mishnah address these cases? Because it says, Achiv, his brother, that's Shua over here. If we're talking from Eitzer's position, Achiv who can't testify for him, Shua may not testify for him. Ve'achei Aviv. If I look from Ben Sheni's perspective, it says here that he may not testify for Shua, Ben Achiv is, Achei Aviv, the brother of my father. My father, Ben Sheni is Eitzer. My father's brother is Shua. So Uncle Shua can't testify for me, Ben Sheni. Ve'achei Imo. His mother, Ben Rishon, who's his mother is Pua. His mother, Pua, then his mother's brother, his uncle is Shua. So he can't testify for Uncle Shua. Hain, Uvnehem, Vichotonehem. They, their children, and their son-in-laws. So if I can't testify for Uncle Shua, I also cannot testify for Uncle Shua's son-in-law. Who's Uncle Shua's son-in-law? Yehuda. So get over here, we have these cases laid out. So I'll go through it again with you. For what if you go to the cave of Eitzer, the caves where we're looking at Eitzer's perspective, Rav Ashi calls Eitzer Achi Chamiv, his father-in-law's brother. Our Mishnah terms that as being the Chatan Echav, Chatan Echav, the son-in-law of his brother. His brother's son-in-law. It's our Mishnah. So then if I go down to Ben Sheni, Rav Ashi calls him Ben Achei Chamiv. My father-in-law's nephew, basically, my father-in-law's brother's son. Our Mishnah calls that Chatan Achei Aviv. The son-in-law of my father's brother. Who's the son-in-law of my father's brother? That's Yehuda. Again, the third case that Rav Ashi asked about was Ben Achot Chamiv. Ben Achot Chamiv is the Ben Rishon. So how does the Mishnah call that? The Mishnah calls that Achatan Achei Imo. It's the son-in-law of my mother's brother. My mother's brother is Shua. Who's his son-in-law? Is Yehuda. So he says our Mishnah addresses it from the other perspective. Again, it addresses it from the opposite perspective. So again, I have the arrows here showing the equivalence between what Rav Ashi is asking about and how our Mishnah addresses those issues. So where it says it's answered in the Mishnah. All right, now, next case. Rav Ikla, the Mizban, Gvilet. Rav went ahead, he was going to buy Gvilim. So when he went to buy, or he placed a gvilei, or he went to buy klafim to write on, to do for stam. So he says, "Bo mine." They asked him, "Mahu sheid adam be'eshet chorgo?" Is a person allowed to testify about eshet chorgo? What is that? The wife of his stepson. So that's on the last page here. Are you allowed to testify about a wife's stepson? What's the question over here? Question only arises when any other isha, we don't ask the question over here because the sons are problematic in all of these cases. Now look here, I'm just showing you the case over here. It's on the fourth page. You have Dina who married Knani and had a child named Shaul. Knani passes away, and then Dina goes ahead and marries Shimon. Shimon's relationship to Shaul is that Shaul is his stepson. Ruth, who marries Shaul, is Eshet Chorgo, the wife of his stepson. Right? Shimon's relationship to Ruth is Eshet Chorgo, his stepson's wife. Now, if they have a child, Shaul and Ruth have a child, Rashi points out that child is permitted to testify for Shimon. Why? Remember in our Mishnah says by Chorgo that it doesn't apply, Bnehem and Chotonehem don't apply to Chorgo in our Mishnah. The next generation doesn't apply. That means that a son of a stepson, your grand stepson like that, is not precluded from testifying for you. That is not true with any other relative. With any other relative, their son would also be precluded. If their son is precluded from testifying for you, that's what Rashi says over here, according to the Rashi, then their mothers would also be precluded from testifying for you. Why is that? Or you for them? Because the sons inherit the ketubah from their mother. So if you can't testify for the son, then you also can't testify for the mother, because your testimony on the mother will affect the son, because the son could possibly inherit his mother's ketubah, and therefore any testimony you have about his mother would also be a problem. So the Gemara doesn't have a question by Isha with any other Isha, because that Isha automatically is precluded, because you can't testify for the individual son. If you can't testify for the individual son, you can't testify for his wife, because the individual's wife is related to you through the individual's son. Of him. Right, again, this has to do with what do you think the problem of Karov is? And here it seems to be that it's Kirvet Hadat. It has to be something that would be Male Adato, something that he would consider a possibility. Right, you have to be close enough relationship that it's something of possibility to him. So over here, if he's able to testify about someone's son, he's precluded from testifying because he's too close a relative, then he can't testify about that individual's mother. I mean, that the wife of the individual's own. Right. Oh, so you'll see that in a second. Very good. That's going to be exactly what I was going to say here. You'll see in a second that that's the answer of the Gemara. So now, but in our case, it's the one case where he can testify for the son. Because we said in our Mishnah that Bnehem is not precluded from that case. So if he can testify for the son, the Gemara wants to know, what about Eshet Chorgo? Because since you can testify for the Chorgo son, can you testify for his wife? That's what the Gemara wants to know over here. So now the Gemara said, he said back for them, Besura Amre, Balki Ishto, and Bupadith Amre, Isha Kevala. Right, there's two sides of the same coin. Right, either Balki Ishto or Isha Kebala, which means that Eshet Chorgo and Chorgo are one. They're considered as one entity. And therefore we don't look as a wife or a husband as an extra generation. Like we saw before, remember we saw before the possibility that there would be a degree of separation between them? The answer is no. That they're considered to be a single entity. They're a single entity, then if you can't testify for Chorgo, for his stepson, he can't testify for Eshet Chorgo, even though he could testify for their child. And so that's the Gemara's answer. Now, the Gemara just goes on a sidebar. So, Amar Ravuna, Amar Rav, Minayin She Isha Kebala. How do you know that an Isha Kebala, Dichtiv, it says, Arvat Achi Avicha Lo Tegaleh, Elishto Lo Tegrav Dodat Chahi. So it says, you're not allowed to go to the Erva of your uncle, right? But your uncle's not the Erva they're talking about. Who are they worried about? They're worried about your aunt, his wife. But his aunt is not your aunt through blood relationship. She's your aunt because she married your uncle. Yet he calls her Dodat Chahi, your aunt. So what do you see? Alo Eshet Dodohi. She is your uncle's wife, not your aunt. But nevertheless, she still calls you, right, aunt. Michal Isha Kebala. So that shows you that when she marries your uncle, she becomes your aunt. And how is that? Because Isha Kebala. So that's how the Gemara learns out this concept called Isha Kebala. All right, next case in the Gemara. Uvalimo hu uvno v'chatano. Right, when it comes to Balimo, right, the case here of Balimo is his stepfather, right? His stepfather plus his stepfather's son and his stepfather's son-in-law. Now just think about this for a second, but if you have a stepfather has a son, then wait a minute, that is your half-brother. Right, because if I have, for instance here, in our picture over here that we had, if Shimon and Dina have a son, then Dina is a common mother to Shaul and to the new son. That means that they are half brothers. They share a common mother. So the Gemara asks over here, Beno, Hainu Achiv. Why is he Pasul? Because he's the son of your stepfather. He should be Pasul because he's your brother, your half brother. And we talked about Kirvata Aim is still good enough to be Krovim. So Amar Amirmi Alo Nitzruch Alo Achea Ach. Oh, well, we're talking about here, basically, which is Rav's parents, how Rav's parents were related. Remember we said before in the Gemara and Dav Dalet that Rav's mother and father were both, one was, it was his mother was a sister to Rav Chia, and his father was a brother to Rav Chia. The only way they could be brother and sister to Rav Chia and be able to marry each other is actually if there were three marriages. And that's what I pictured for you here. So I'm going to mirror me. Look, this is the case here. Dina was married to Knani. They had a son named Shaul. Right? Knani passes away, and then Dina marries Shimon. But Shimon also had a previous marriage. Shimon was previously married to Merav, and they had a child named Sochar. And over there, that Sochar is Shimon's son. And then, together, Shimon and Dina have a son named Ohad. What is Echeach is the relationship of Sochar to Shaul. Sochar and Shaul share no blood relationship. Right? They are simply step brothers. They're stepbrothers because their parents are now married. They have no blood relationship. So that's called Achea'ach. And that would have been, again, if one of them had a daughter, that would have been the relationship of Rav's mother and father, and Ohad would have been Rav Chia. And that's how Rav Chia would have been a brother to Rav's father, and a sister would be Rav Chia's father, and that's how they've been related, even though Rav's mother and father were not related, even though they were both related to Rav Chia. So this is exactly this case. Right? So they... That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah says. So that, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, that means that our Mishnah says that Achayach, stepbrothers, are not allowed to testify for each other. You think that Ben Balimo means that it was born of the new marriage. No, it was born of the previous marriage and they both brought children into the marriage. That's exactly what you're saying, is what Rabbi Yirmiyah is explaining. It's Achayach, they're stepbrothers. So now, Rav Chisda Ach Shebe Achayach. Chisda says, no. Stepbrothers like that are kosher to testify one for the other. Well then, wait a minute. Amalei lo shmei lach ad Rabbi Yirmiyah. Says, you didn't hear what Rabbi Yirmiyah said, that Achayach are problematic. So Amalei lo shmei lach, he says, no, lo shmei lach, I didn't hear it. Klomar lo severely, I don't hold to this. Now, if you don't hold of Rabbi Yirmiyah, you're back to step one, which is, Iachi, I know right, Achiv. Right, it's back to being his brother. It says, Tanu Achiv mina av, Tani Achiv mina aim. Right, so that's it. The mission is laying out the Achiv from two sides. Saying that his brother through his mother, and his brother through his father. And that the other case so far, when we talked about Achiv in the beginning case, that was a case to his father. Over here, this is Achiv through his mother. Because when Shimon and Dina get married, and they have a child named Ohad, that Ohad, they share a common mother together, and it's his brother through his mother. They're half-brothers through the mother. And the case of Achiv, just on the Mishnah, is a case of half-brothers through the father. So therefore, it enumerated them separately, even though they have the same din, and they're both brothers. Okay, now, Amar Rav Chisda, this is the last case here in the charts. It's back on page 2 in the, on page 2 of the charts. So over here we have a case which is Amar Rav Chisda, Aviyah Chatan Va'aviyah Kala Midim Ze Aze. The father of the Chatan and the father of the bride, right, are allowed to testify one for each other. So if you see on page 2, we have Esav, who has a son named Eliphaz, and Yaakov has a daughter named Dina. Eliphaz and Dina get married. So now, Eliphaz's father is Aviyah Chatan. Who's that? That's Esav. Yaakov is the father of the bride, which is, right, Dina. So now, Yaakov and Esav can testify one for the other. They can testify one for each other because that's Aviyah Chatan and Aviyah Kala. They are not considered to be relatives. That means you're, right, basically your mechutanim are not relatives, are not close enough to you for you to be precluded from testifying for them. Lo dami ala hadadi. That's because in-laws, meaning that mechutanim, are not similar to each other. Elki achla dedano. They're like a cover and a barrel, but not a cover and a barrel that fits. It's a cover that doesn't fit a barrel. Right? It's the wrong cover for that, right, for one barrel. So that's how they get a lot. It's a cover and a barrel. So yeah, the two are supposed to get together because you have a kala and a chatan, but they don't really belong together. They're only together because the two, right, the son and the daughter get married, but they're not naturally a fit, and therefore their korva is not considered a korva that will posel them for testimony. All right, now. Amar Rabbi Barchanam, Meid Adam Lishto Arusa. Person can testify for his wife who is engaged to, meaning that he has Erusin with, not Erusin. Samaravina lo amran el afukamina. That he can only testify if he's divorcing her. But if it's to marry her, then no. I mean that if it's for his interest to have her married, because then he'll get the money or whatever, nixle malug, whatever it is, then he can't testify. But to divorce her, that's fine. Velohi, it's not true. Lo shna lafuke, lo shna leule, lo mehemen. Doesn't matter. He can't testify about his arusa no matter what. My datech, what were you thinking? What was the half of me that he could testify? You think it's because of this? Ishta arusa, ishta arusa, when I'm talking about a kohen. Ishta arusa lo onain velo metamila. If he's a kohen, right, he's not classified as an onain for her that he's precluded from eating kochim. And lo metamila, he doesn't become, he's not obligated, or he's precluded from becoming tamei for her. He's not allowed to become tamei. She's not one of the relatives he's allowed to be tamei for. And she too is not an onenet for him, and not metame lo. Now, as far as any nuts is concerned, we understand why the woman is not an onenet, means that she can eat kochim. But what does it mean, lo metame lo? She doesn't become tamei to her. Kohanot are not no mitzvot on not becoming tamei. So what it means is that she's not mitzvot. So Rashi gives two possibilities. One is it's agav. Right? It's just the parallel structure of the other side. Or the other possibility is, lo metamela, it doesn't mean that she's not, it just means that she's not obligated to be metame for him. Not that she can't, but she's not obligated to. I mean, it means that she can't eat, she's not precluded from eating kochim. But lo metamela, and metamela is that she's not obligated to deal with the mate. And that comes to what Tzvi was asking, there's a machlokas in the Gemara and Brachot between Rashi and Tosafot, what is the status of onein? Why are you an onein? Are you an onein because we want you to be free to take care of the mate? Meaning that you're obligated to take care of the mate. That's why you're an onein. And so here, if you're not obligated, you wouldn't be an onein, right? I mean, in that case. Or is the act of kavod a mate for you to be performing mitzvot when the mate is there? So it's a problem in kavod a mate, or is it a problem for you, meaning that it's freeing you up so you can be metapo be mate? So is the reason you're known is because you covered a mate, or is the reason because you need to be free to work with the mate? So based on that shita that you have to be free from the mate, right, that's what you're asking. Well, if she's not an onenet, right, then she's also not metamela. But over here, the aninut we're using for a different issue, which is that she can't eat kochim. Metamela is referring to that type of aninut that she doesn't have to be metapel with the mate. Right? Meta, eno yorsha. If she dies, he does not inherit her. Metu, gova, ktubata. If he dies, she gets a ktubah, assuming that there was a ktubah given at the time of every sin. So Mar says, Hatam b'she'ero talo rachmano. Over there, both Yerusha and Krova with Tum'ah have to do with She'ero, the word She'ero. And we know She'ero means Ishto. That's the only one who is a Karov for Tum'ah. And She'ero is also the only one who is a Karov for Yerusha. But over here, this is what you were asking, David, right? And Akati loves She'ero here. And over here, it's not his wife yet. Hocha mishum ikruve datahu. Here it has to do with how close they are, David, right? That was what you're asking. That's it. They're relatives. What's the problem with a relative? That they're going to favor each other, that they have a personal interest, they have a bias here because of their relationship. With an arusa, that relationship's already been created. The fact that you're going to intend to marry this woman, that makes you have some sort of right feelings towards this woman, to have a kirvut adat. So over here, as opposed to on the first half of the Yomot today, we said, what, it sounds like Yizer Takatu. Over here, it sounds like the problem of Krovim is that they are biased one to the other. They have issues. All right, so now, Chorgo Levado. So now we have a machlokas here between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah it says, Chorgo Levado. So in our Mishnah it says, the only one of those 10 people that's precluded from having their sons and son-in-laws be included in Korva is Chorgo. That's what we see over here. So the Gemara says, Chorgo Bilvad is excluded from having sons and son-in-laws included. Along comes Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Giso. Also, brother-in-laws. Now, brother-in-laws in our Mishnah is where, two people married sisters. They don't have to be brothers, but two people married sisters, those are brother-in-laws. It's important to note over here that both Rashi and Tosfos point out there's actually a different din between Chorgo and Giso. By Chorgo, we're going to exclude both the son and the son-in-law. That is not true by Giso. Because if you take Giso, if you look at the son of the brothers-in-law, there's actually something in our Mishnah that addresses it from the other perspective, which is that you're assured to testify for Baal Achotimo, for the husband of your mother's sister, which is your uncle through marriage, when you have the two sisters. So if we look in the Mishnah as being reflexive, then the son of Giso would be restricted. So both Rashi and Tosfos say over here, when Rabbi Yossi is matir, or says that it's not included by Giso, he's only talking about the Chatan, the son-in-law. The son will be included in the restrictions, the son-in-law will not be included in the restrictions, and that's where they're comparing Chorgo to Giso. Rashi does bring another gear, so where Rabbi Yossi would argue on both points, and even argue on the point that by Giso, Chatano and his ben would be mutar, and he'd actually be arguing on our Mishnah on two points. He doesn't seem to favor that Lashon, and Tosfos also favors the second Lashon in Rashi, which says that they're actually different, and by Giso, we're only excluding Chatano, his son-in-law, and not his ben. So now, Betani, we have another brace that says Giso levado. That says only the geese is precluded. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chorgo, also the son-in-law. So my kamar. Now, are Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda saying the same thing? Because they're both saying that Chorgo and Giso are precluded, or are they saying something different? So Ilay Me'achi Kamar, Chorgo levado, Vuadin leGiso, right? That Chorgo levado means, by Rabbi Yossi means also Giso, and Abdi Rabbi Yossi Amar Giso levado, Vuadin leChorgo, and Rabbi Yossi is coming along to teach you what? That Giso and also Chorgo, then now you have them both saying that Chorgo and Giso are not included. That means that who's the author of our Mishnah? According to both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda over here, you only have 8 people out of the 10 that would include their sons and son-in-laws. Our Mishnah has 9. Why? Because our Mishnah includes Giso. If you say Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi agree here that neither son, neither Chorgo, nor stepson, nor brother-in-law include them, then there's no, neither of them is the author of our Mishnah. So lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yossi. Elohi kamar. This is the way you have to explain it. Chorgo levado. That Chorgo levado means Chorgo and just Chorgo, stepson. Ava Giso, huv no v'chatano. V'at Rabbi Yossi lemeimar Giso levado. And Rabbi Yossi comes to say, no, Giso by itself, ava Chorgo, huv no v'chatano. So when Rabbi Yossi comes and says, no, I disagree. It's only, right, Giso, only brother-in-laws are not included. Veladatani. So now what are you going to say in this case? You're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi argue on this point. They argue whether it's Chorgo or Giso. But that means now we have a problem. We could fit one of them into our Mishnah, who the author of our Mishnah will then be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's Chorgo will be the author of our Mishnah. But now we have a problem for Rabbi Chia. Why? Because that means both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda believe that there are 9 relatives in the Mishnah that have sons and son-in-laws included. Now we go back to that question we had before. What about Rabbi Chia? V'hadatani Rabbi Chia, shmone avot, shein esrim v'arba. You have 8 avot that is manifests itself as 24. 3 times 8. That's only 8 relatives. Nobody here, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, nobody says that there are 8 people in the Mishnah that have sons and son-in-laws. They only have 9, because each one of them excludes one. One excludes a stepson, and one excludes a brother-in-law. So come on, look at Rabbi Yossi, look at Rabbi Yehuda. Eleochi kamar, this is what you have to say. It says, the phrase, Chorgo levado, like our Mishnah says, Chorgo levado, only a stepson does not have sons and son-in-laws included. Aval giso huvno v'chatano. But when it comes to a geese, they would be included. V'atah Rabbi Yossi lemeimar giso levado v'koshkein chorgo. Rabbi Yossi comes and says, no, giso and chorgo are precluded. So now, and came into this, Matnitan Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda says over here, the only person that doesn't have son and son-in-laws included is Chorgo, his stepson. He's the Tanakama of the Mishnah of Rabbi Bryce of Rabbi Yossi, and he also says it explicitly later on, that it's Chorgo. Now, Rabbi Yossi over here argues and Rabbi Yehuda says, not only is it Chorgo, but it's also Giso. And then Rabbi Yossi, who says that it's Chorgo and Giso, he ends up with 8 relatives that have sons and son-in-laws, and he'll be the author. Rabbi Chia will be following Rabbi Yossi's position when he says there are 24 manifestations in the Mishnah. 8 relatives with themselves, their sons and son-in-laws, that's 24. 8 times 3 is 24. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmo, Halacha to Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So what does that mean, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi? The Halacha of Rabbi Yossi means that there are 8 relatives that you include sons and son-in-laws, 2 that you don't, which is stepson and brothers-in-laws. So, Hai, Matanto, Davi Chatime Le Tre Gisei. There was this gift that was granted, that brother-in-laws signed on it. Sabar Rabbi Yossi, Vlach Shura. They said, okay, that should be Kasher. Why? Because it's brother-in-laws that are signed on a Mishnah. Dam Rabbi Yudam Shmo Halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Now, which Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi? Right, so you're looking at me like strange. Rabbi Yossi agrees that Gisim are not, right, are precluded. It's just their sons and son-in-laws that can't, that aren't included here. Ah, but you remember, Rabbi Yossi was also had a position in our Mishnah. What did Rabbi Yossi say in our Mishnah? Zu Mishnah Rabbi Akiva. All the relatives, the 10 relatives we mentioned above, that's Rabbi Akiva. What do I think? What Mishnah Rishona was, Dodo ben Dodo, kol ha-ra'ui le-yorsho. Anybody could inherit him. Brother-in-laws don't inherit each other. Brother-in-laws don't inherit each other because they're not related. They're not related. They're not brother relatives. They're each married to sisters. They're married to sisters. So they're married to sisters. The relationship is through their wives, not through them. So they're not inheritors of each other. So he thought when we said halachic Rabbi Yossi was Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. How do you know it's Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah? The machshir b'gisa that says the brother-in-law is okay. Dilma Rabbi Yossi the Braisa. Maybe it's Rabbi Yossi the Braisa above who says the pasal b'gisi who says brother-in-laws are no good. It says lo sakadat. You can't say that. Damar Shmuel Kon Anu Pinchas Davin Achay VeGisi. I'll give you an example of Gisim. Example of Gisim is me and Pinchas. Pinchas and me and my brother, we married sisters. We were two brothers who married sisters. So what he sounds from that the only time brother-in-laws are problematic is when they're also brothers. About Gisei Dalma, if we were just brother-in-laws, Shapidani would have been okay. My says, wait, the Dilma Kohanov and Pinchas Meshum de Giso come act. No, the reason that Pinchas and I are problematic, not because we're brothers, but because we're brother-in-laws. And any brother-in-law would be problematic. How could you conclude that? Amalei, Zilknei be'idim sirek Rabbi Lazar. He says, all right, so now they deem fail. They deem fail, you need to have it, you prove your kinyan through Eidei Mesira, like Rabbi Lazar. Well, forget about the Eidei Chatima, let's work with Eidei Mesira. So he says, back to him, Vama Rabbi Abba, Modeh Rabbi Lazar, b'mezuyach mitochot shepasul. Even Rabbi Lazar agrees that even though we don't need Eidei Chatima, if the Eidei Chatima are pasul, Eidei Mesira don't help anymore. Why? Because if the Eidei Chatima are on there, you relied on the Chatimat Eidim, you relied on the Shtar, and the Shtar is no good for the Kenyan. So Eidim Misira are worthless when the Shtar is Mizuyach Mitocho, when you have Pasul Eidim. Here we have Pasul Eidut inside of the Shtar. What does it matter that you have Misira? He says, sorry buddy, you're not going to get this gift. They're not letting me, every time I try to paskin in your favor, they're telling me that I'm wrong. So you're not going to get your gift today. Alright. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Alright. Amar Bitan Chun Amar Avda. Amar Ber Blona. Amar Av Halocha Ki Rabbi Yehuda. The locha is like Rabbi Yehuda over here. So Amar Rav Nachman, ain't a locha ki Rabbi Yehuda. That the locha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. V'chein Amar Rav Vachanam Rabbi Yochanan, ain't a locha ki Rabbi Yehuda. So the Rabbi Yehuda we're discussing over here is the Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. That Rabbi Yehuda says that a relative stays a relative even after the death of one individual, mean that we say Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, and then we say Allah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Ike the Madlein Aha, the Rabbi Barchana, who says that Allah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, ha, on this case of Rabbi Yehuda. It's Zu, Darash, Rabbi Yossi, Aglida, Uvat, Elekwanim, Elevim, Elashafet, Asheria, Beimim, Ahim. You have to go up to the Kohanim, Elevim, who are the Shuftim in that time. Chidal, Allah, Adat, Chash, Adam, Olay, Chetzel, Shafet, Shalai, Yab, Yamav. How are you going to go to a Shafet that's not in your time? What do you mean by Yamim, Ahim? Right? Meaning that, what are the alternatives? Hey, there's no other alternatives. Ela Zeshia Karov, Venit Rachek. That's someone who was a karov, who became, originally was a relative, and then he became a non-relative to you. This again seems to uphold the position that the problem with relatives is that there's kurvat adat. There's some sort of inherent bias because of the closeness to each other. Therefore, if there's a death that terminates the relationship or the closest that you have, there'll no longer be a problem of korvar being a karov. So, Amar Rabbi Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Alocha, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Alocha is like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which means the Alocha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. That if something once was a relative and then that relationship is severed, then you can testify. Right, Bnei Chamua Demar Mukva. Right, so the children, Bnei Chamua Demar Ukva, the children of the mother-in-law of Mar Ukva, Krovim Vinitrachu. These were basically his brother-in-laws, and then they were Nitrachaku. I mean, his wife passed away. Mar Ukva's wife passed away, and when Mar Ukva's wife passed away, they were no longer related as brother-in-laws anymore. So after the Kamei, the Dina, they came, these Bnei Chamua came before him, his brother-in-laws came before him to adjudicate a case. Amulei, he says, I can't be a judge for you because we're relatives. Amulei, Madateich, Rabbi Yehuda? He says, what are you passing like Rabbi Yehuda that relatives remain relatives even after the death of the blood relative that connected them? Anan, my tinan, igarta mi marava. We have a letter from Eretz Yisrael. The ain alocha k Rabbi Yehuda. That the alocha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So Amalahu, he says, atu bekava dekira yidbakana. Are we stuck together like wax? You think the reason that I don't want to be the judge in your case is because we're relatives? It says, "B'chol d'lo kamina psilna lochul adina." Right? That I would say, "Pasul el mishum d'lo tzaitina adina." The reason I don't want to be the judge is because you don't listen to judges. The reason I want to be the judge in your case is you're not going to listen to me anyway. It's not because I'm a relative. The psul here, I'm making myself, or I'm recusing myself from the case, is because I don't think you guys are going to listen anyway. So it's not worth my making an investment here with you. All right, stop here.